That's Eric.
That's Jody.
And we're Doomsday Murder Cult.
I fucked it up on purpose.
I know. It felt like on Saturday Night Live when Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig would do those songs. Do you remember that sketch where they would be on the news segment? And they would kind of not know the song the other person was singing, but they kind of read their lips.
Is this a part where you want me to be honest or to just agree and go along?
Yeah, just be honest. Okay.
Oh, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I'm like, what's this guy doing? Doomsday?
You were giving me cues with your hands and everything, too. You're like directing. And what I will say is that your directing was so good that it almost got me to do it despite the gag that I wanted to pull. So
we're Doomsday Murder Cult.
Yes.
Because murders.
Are we a Doomsday Murder Cult? We're just Doomsday Murder Cult.
We're just Doomsday Murder Cult for now. I mean, if this blew up, I mean, I'd be okay with becoming one, but
I'm
afraid of getting caught.
I'm probably the charismatic leader. I mean, no offense. I mean, you're the one who gets shit done.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're the real, like, force behind it.
Yeah, I'm the first lady.
But I'm definitely the face of it.
Well, you do have a youthful look.
Yeah.
You know, you look like just shaved.
My boyish good looks.
You have boyish good looks. You were a baseball player for a minute.
I got paid to play baseball.
You got paid to play baseball.
Until they realized that I wasn't any good at it, so then I had to go into podcasting.
And just don't mention anything else you did in between.
Yeah, right. Nothing I did in between those two things means anything.
Right. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are... So I like murders. I like...
Yeah, you like...
Murders. I like disappearance cases. I like abductions.
I think we should be a little more specific and say that you like... the mystery and intrigue behind murders instead of maybe just saying you like murder. And I guess I don't want to speak for you.
No, because I don't know if it's the mystery and intrigue. I think it's for instance, with Ted Bundy, for a while there, he had a pretend, you know, broken leg, and that's how he would get women into his car. So I'm intrigued by how murderers do it. How they get away with it.
Sure.
Yeah. I guess that's a mystery.
A lot of them do get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I like.
Yeah. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you liking doomsday cults is totally not.
That's normal. That's a normal thing that most people are into. No, I love. I'm fascinated by people who believe weird things, and I guess, you know, I do kind of want to set the tone. This is our first episode,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to help myself entirely, but I don't want this to be a platform to just disparage people's beliefs, because I'm much more interested in it's a lot less. What that belief is and more why they believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and like what circumstances go into and surround somebody believing wholeheartedly in this weird fringe thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love cults and I love doomsday predictions. Like I love people like just throwing a dart and picking a day and saying, like, this is it, motherfuckers. We're done.
Yeah.
Has everybody been wrong so far?
Everybody has been wrong.
But let me say this.
So,
and maybe, you know, I probably won't be able to completely hide my nihilism. Mm-hmm. So I may as well just be on Front Street about it.
I've never heard that before.
What?
Be on Front Street.
Oh, yeah. Put something on Front Street, you know, just like lay it all out there.
You're drinking Downtown Brown on Front Street.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't actively want the world to end necessarily. Like, I'm totally cool with the world not ending.
Yeah.
But if the world's gonna end, I want to see it. I want to be of the generation that gets to see the world end.
Really?
Oh, totally. Like, wouldn't you want to, like, if you knew the world was going to end, like a comet's going to collide with the Earth, like, wouldn't you just, like, want to, like, find a spot and just, like, watch it?
No!
Like, bring it on. Like, we're fucked anyway. Bring it on. Let's see what happens. Or even better, like, the biblical apocalypse happens and Jesus comes down with, like, the laser eyes and the flaming sword and, like, starts mowing motherfuckers down.
Yeah.
Like,
that might be what really happens.
Well, it's going to be one of those two things, probably.
Yeah.
You know? So, like that would be amazing to see. I'd be one of the first ones to get cut down. Like, no doubt about it. Oh, yeah. I mean, well.
Have you ever gone to church just one time?
Like, because I wanted to?
Yeah.
No.
I had this, like, year period where I was trying it on for size. So I probably have a little more time over you.
Okay.
Like, and plus, I haven't dismissed God.
Okay.
Because I just don't feel comfortable thinking I'm smart enough to know he exists or not.
Well, I think that's exactly where I would put myself as well. Where it's like, you know, like, God could sell himself to me. But he has, to this point, chosen not to. I think.
But you've got that dog upstairs. What if God's speaking to you through that dog?
Then I would say he needs to reevaluate his medium.
Okay.
Like, a dog is probably not a great choice.
They die a lot.
They do die a lot. They don't speak English.
Right, and they eat garbage.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of them eat poop.
Yeah. Is your dog?
No. Nope. He's not a poop eater.
Oh. I don't understand what that is about.
I don't really get it either, and I've never, that's one of the things that I've never cared to learn about. Just like, I'd just rather not have a poop-eating dog than learn about why. So
anyway.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Our podcast.
Oh, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast. Yeah. And it's our first episode.
Oh, that's what all the shit's like all over, like with this, like the board and the computer,
right,
and the,
yeah,
microphones. And
yeah, that's what we're doing right,
okay,
now.
Oh.
So you made a very good case for your doomsday cult, not offending people, not wanting to make fun of people's.
Yeah, I don't want to go out of my way to, I don't want to just disparage people's beliefs because they're silly and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things that people believe in and accept in mainstream society are weird.
Yeah.
And kind of out there.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm not, when I'm picking these stories, I'm not picking on the people. I kind of like pointing out absurdities, and I really love to ask the question why and how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
you're like a journalist.
So sort
you're
of
you're a shitty journalist.
I'm a shitty journalist. I got fired from a newspaper once too. So
you worked at a newspaper?
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say the name of the newspaper on the air, because it's been long enough now where they probably the hard feelings are probably gone, but yeah.
What happened?
They asked me to cover things that I didn't want to cover, so I stopped showing up.
Were you a sports reporter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst. You have to show up at all hours for high school games.
Yeah, and it's like, at that point in my life, it's not like I had shit going on. So, you know, like, the hours really weren't the biggest obstacle. But, listen, I had to cover...
Was your wallet bothering your butt?
Yeah. I was like, I was sitting crooked.
He pulled his wallet out.
Well, I mean, I figure I have to pay you to be here. So, I got... $12. That $5 I'm keeping. I don't know if you saw that in there. The $5 I'm keeping.
The $5. You're such a high roller. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know you worked for a newspaper.
Yeah.
Was this after the baseball thing?
This was after the baseball thing, yeah.
And you had no degree in it?
No. No, I don't have any fancy book learning.
Wow, but you're working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it for some bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, but what happened with the newspaper was I was covering high school and college sports for a smallish town. You know, I mean, a town of about 35,000 people, I think, something like that. And
that's a big town.
That's a, I mean, biggish town, I guess.
Yeah.
But they had two colleges. You know, so I was covering, like, soccer and football and, you know, like all sorts of stuff, which was kind of fun. And then winter came and basketball and wrestling season happened.
Yeah.
And I covered a high school girls basketball game, and this is a private school. And the final score... was like, I don't remember exactly, but it was something like 9-6 or something like that.
For
the whole game. I remember it was both single digits. Like, both teams had single digits.
Oh, my God, that's the most boring thing in the world.
It was bad. It was really bad. And so there was that. That's kind of what got me thinking, like, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. And then they wanted me to cover, you know, like a men's wrestling tournament. And I was just like... I don't care about that. I don't like, and like, good on you if you're a wrestler and that's your thing or whatever. It's like, I just wasn't interested in it. And it was like, do I really want to keep doing this thing that I don't want to do, mm-hmm. you know? And ultimately the answer to that is yes, I should have kept doing that thing, you know, because eventually it would have been baseball season.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But young Eric wasn't thinking like that. He didn't think like that. So.
And it's a little weird to watch wrestling.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Like when I was a cheerleader, I never understood why there were wrestling cheerleaders.
I love so much that you were a cheerleader.
I was a basketball cheerleader, and I didn't ever really understand the game at all.
Well, I mean, your job as a cheerleader doesn't really require you to understand the game, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just like you're just following cues and...
Yeah, but sometimes you're prompted. Yeah, like,
right.
if, they scored and everyone's really excited about it and stuff.
Right.
I finished my first beer.
Well, here we go. Buckle up.
So... All right, should we start talking about the stuff?
Yeah, you want to use the other end of that bottle opener.
Oh, I always...
I mean, you can use whatever end you want, but
I know, you're super, super bossy about it, and I'm going to watch my pour through the screen of this, what is this thing called?
It's called a pop screen.
A pop screen. I'm watching, I did it, yes. Okay.
That's a professional quality pour.
It was. I mean, but you can't, this is a Stanley cup, so you can't see how much head is on it. I bet it's all head.
Should I make the stupid joke? Is this a thing we're going to do?
I don't know, did you write this joke ahead of time?
I didn't.
Ahead of time.
I was going to say, everybody loves a little head.
shit. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So, yes.
I didn't write that joke, so I'm sure that should be credit to somebody else.
And he doesn't have it written down. You don't have any notes. You do them all on your computer.
I've got my notes on my computer. Next time, I'm going to print them out because I think that's more sensible.
Sure.
And fuck trees.
Right. And absolutely. Okay.
Well, actually, the real reason I do them on my computer, and I guess I can do this on paper as well,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that, you know, like I can zoom in and make it like large print.
Or do you have a problem with seeing? Do you need bifocals?
I don't think so. I think I'm good, but it's like my screen. So I've got the mic, I've got the pop filter, I've got my screen like 5 miles away.
Yeah.
So I just need to. I need help.
And what time did you get up today?
2:30 in the a.m.
And what time did you get done with work?
10-ish.
Oh.
So, you know, like.
This is like 6 o'clock for most people.
Yeah, like 7. I'm having my afternoon beers now, and it's
12:47.
It's 12:58.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So what we're going to do?
Yes.
Is Jody is going to talk about a murder, unsolved mystery, something fucked up.
Was that the music for Unsolved Mysteries?
I have no idea.
You never watched it?
Oh no, with Robert Stack?
Yeah.
But I don't remember the theme song.
Oh, the theme song was the scariest part. Anyway.
Yeah. Not that there's like unsolved like murderers from unsolved murders out there. Still, like, ravaging society. The scariest part was the theme song.
Well, when you're, like, 8 years old, first, you know, the 80s, as it's been said many times, it was a rough time to be a child in the 80s.
Well, it was just a dark time in human history.
Yes, and you were still sort of just allowed to roam freely, even though things were happening to kids, you know.
Like, but here's the thing, is, like, our parents 100% knew that fucked up shit happened in the world.
Yeah.
And they were like, fling the door open and be like, okay, be careful out there.
Right. I hope it's not you.
Yeah. I mean, odds are it's not.
Odds are it's not.
But.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Right. I mean, you lived in a bigger city than I did.
Yeah. I mean, for like my first 10 years. You know.
Where did you live in? Aren't you always from Black River Falls?
No, I was from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, originally. And then moved to Black River Falls. And which Black River Falls, Wisconsin, we're totally talking about that on this show. But, I mean, that's got a fucked up history.
Really?
Oh, big time.
Is there some cults there?
Well, there's a book written called Wisconsin Death Trip.
Yes, I had that book. Do you own it?
No, I don't have a copy, but I definitely should.
I don't know where I lost it. It was probably in this basement.
Yeah. But what they
and then you burned it, or what did you do with?
Well, it
things?
Was a ritual sacrifice. So I mean, I think we owe it to our listeners to be specific.
Right. So I had some things in your basement, and then they disappeared, and I think that book was one of them.
Right. Oh, should we drop that bomb on our listeners?
If you haven't listened to. Which episode number?
Episode 42 of Insincere Bullshit.
Which is your other endeavor.
Probably the less said about that, the better.
Yeah. Totally. Totally right.
So, I don't know how we want to lead with this.
Because people might be wondering, what's up with these two?
Yeah. Why? Like,
were
why
they in
the
bookstore and just were like, hey, you're looking at cult books and I'm looking at murder books? And
it could have happened that way.
Yeah.
It very well could have happened.
At Crossroad Books.
Oh, yeah. I love that place.
Yeah. It could have happened there.
Yeah. It could have. It very well could have.
You would have been like, who's that girl?
Well, that would have been like. Like internal monologue stuff, you know. I probably wouldn't have started like singing. I might have.
You try to, Avoid the...
I'd start singing, but I don't know the song. But
okay, so we met... Can I just say?
You just say it. Just people don't care about the backstory. They just care about... They want the meat.
We met on a dating site because I kept looking at your profile every day, and then suddenly you were like, hey, you keep looking at my profile. I had no idea that if you looked at somebody's profile, it would show every time, because I was so troubled. I was like, well, this guy's cute, but God, he really likes a lot of outdoorsy shit. But then I'd be like, oh, but he's super cute. But oh, God, he likes to camp. And so then we met at a bar, and then we dated, and then we broke up, and we lived together.
Right. I think that's the that's the part that people are going to want to know.
Yeah, we lived together.
We lived together in this house.
In this house. And it was some time ago.
Yeah, it was like, do we ever do the math on that? No, I think we should not do the math on that.
No, I don't want to know.
It was a while ago, several years ago.
It was several years ago. Yep. And we have popped in and out of each other's lives. I popped in and out of your life.
I was going to say that's probably a little more accurate. yeah, and so when you popped back in most recently,
mm-hmm.
We're hanging out, and you know, like we've both lived rich, full lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done some things.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know what? We need to do a show and share this with everyone.
Right.
Everyone. Because this show is going to be for everyone. Like, if there's one show that has mass appeal, it's Doomsday Murder Cult.
Yeah, my mom will listen to it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, my mom will, too.
But my mom does Google Yahoo Mail to find her mail. Like, to check her email, she has to Google Yahoo.
Okay, so unless you show her how to do it, there's a good chance she'll never figure out how to listen.
That's true. So maybe I won't show her. But your mom will figure it out?
She'll figure it out.
Really? So yeah. She's savvy.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what her methods are, but... Hi, Mom.
I don't know what her methods are. Hey, can I just ask one quick thing about your mom?
Yeah, sure.
Does she still have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stuff hanging up in her house at Christmas?
Like now?
Well, it was not a Christmas time when we were there, and it was hanging up.
You're asking me questions that I don't know the answer to. One, because I haven't been to my mom's house in a while. Sorry, Mom. And two, I have no recollection of what you're talking about.
Really?
No.
It was like cross-stitched or something.
I mean, I guarantee you, and again, hi, Mom. But I guarantee you, Mom's got cross-stitched shit up on her walls. No question. 100%. So... whether it's Christmas themed or not, I'm not sure. I'll have to pop down there and check.
What's that? I forget why you cover your cup.
Episode 42 of Insincere Bullshit, we have a long conversation about why I cover my cup.
I know, I forgot.
With my hand, and I mean, no reason. But
okay, so you're not protecting it from...
It must be like an anxiety thing.
Yeah, you're anxious right now.
Yeah. I'm anxious to talk about some murders.
Okay, well, let's get to it. Are you worried like, oh, this isn't going so good?
Well, I mean, how do you feel? How do you feel about it so far?
I'm feeling okay about it.
Yeah, I feel good.
Yeah. Okay. So, I didn't intentionally.
I mean, if you feel good, I feel good.
I'm okay. You're okay.
We're good.
I'm okay. You're not okay. You're not okay. You're okay. I'm not okay. There's something from the 70s. There's four states of being, like Leo Basculia or something like that. Had these four states of being, and it was like, I'm okay, you're okay. That's where you'd like to be. But sometimes it seems like very base now that I'm thinking of it.
Oh, I see. Like you're okay, I'm okay. I'm okay, you're not okay.
Yeah. You're not okay, I'm okay.
Right, or we're both not okay. Right. I think right now, we'll have to recheck at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I think we're both okay right now.
Yeah, I'm okay right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so I didn't intentionally choose local murders, but for the first two episodes, they're going to be local murders, and they are potentially linked.
Oh, boy. Okay, so there's something to look forward to next week.
Yes, and I found this out by going on the Web Sleuth website. Have you ever, are you a member of Web Sleuths?
I've heard of it, but I'm not a member. I'll sign up right now.
Just get on it while I'm talking.
Yeah, I don't need to hear any of this, right?
Well, it's not like they just go, oh, okay, you can be a member. I mean, you have to ask. And I'd like to think that they think about it before they approve you.
Oh, because you are a member.
I am.
You think that they would deny me?
Well, I'm just saying.
Do you want it to just be your thing? It can be your thing.
I want it to just be my thing.
Okay, I don't have to do it.
And Web Sleuths, okay, that community has been responsible for solving some cold cases. And they're just regular people.
Okay.
And they're just...
So this is just like, this is sort of like...
Oops, I hit that.
Nice work. So this is like people, when they start talking about, and I've never really been on Reddit, but I always hear people talking about like cold cases on Reddit, and people are like, oh, did you know this and this detail and this detail? And then they like start like kind of crowdsourcing the evidence or the their efforts. It's like that, but more organized and probably better.
Yes. Number one, I don't get what Reddit is. I worked on a political campaign, and we were supposed to do one of those Ask Me Anythings. And we somehow got put in the wrong forum, and our questions were way not political. It was some, I don't know what happened. I don't understand any of it. I was just really having a hard time. Because I'm supposed to be the campaign manager. Like, I don't get what Reddit is. I don't get it. So anyway, Web Sleuths was around longer. And I think it's probably like, let's say when there were chat rooms and then what's something more current than a chat room?
Facebook?
Facebook? Jinx.
Yep, Jinx, you owe me Coke.
No, but I said it first.
Oh, I owe you a Coke.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Now we'll settle this.
We'll settle this duel. Okay, anyway, all that is irrelevant, but that's where I found out the information about this potential link, which I'm not sure I agree with.
Okay.
Okay, so this one is called...
Well, and we'll let our listeners decide whether there's a link or not.
Right. And now this case is interesting. It's the case of Kathleen Thompson.
I like your radio voice.
It's Kathleen Thompson. Okay. I wrote notes and then I had to do some printouts because there's some crazy shit that happens with this. Okay.
All right.
So Kathleen Thompson was married on February 25th of 2000. Guess what day she died?
February 26th of 2000?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I was reaching for some bullshit there.
No, and it's not one of those tragic, you know, sometimes you'll see proms gone wrong where everyone crashes and dies in a limo.
Right.
Okay, it's not like that. It's a little more Wisconsin because she and her husband get married and they get into a fight on their wedding night.
Okay.
And they both get arrested. That's how bad the fight is.
Okay. That's a Wisconsin wedding, if I've ever heard one.
I mean, one of my mom's sisters was thrown into a mud puddle on her wedding. And like, no, the priest was thrown into a mud puddle.
I thought you were going to say the priest threw the bride into a mud
puddle. No, but it was really bad. My dad was telling me about it over Christmas. Okay. So they were both arrested. And Kathleen was released earlier than her husband. So she was released at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
In Eau Claire. And she denied the cop's offer to give her a ride home because she said her house on Laurel Street, which actually I used to live on Margaret Street and Laurel is really close to there. Not really that close to the police station. I mean,
that's probably a mile and a half walk.
Yeah.
If you're walking home.
Yeah.
And it's the East Hill neighborhood for our local Eau Claire residents.
Right. So maybe you'd think, yeah, I'm walking to the East Hill. That seems like a safe bet.
Yeah.
You know, so she was found on the curb on Laurel at 5:45 in the morning, and she was strangled.
So almost home.
She was almost home, and she was strangled to death, and she was found on the curb. Okay, so it couldn't have been the husband, right? Because
he was still in jail.
He was still in jail, and she had an ex. Oops. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
You know, you had me, before we started recording, Jody had me position the mic and everything closer.
I know. I know. I think it was a mistake. Yeah. I think it should be farther away. But I don't want to fix it right now because we can't.
Right.
I'm going to go
You're gonna learn the position of the mic. This is all first episode kinks we're working out.
Right.
So.
It's a lot. You know, I'm on break right now.
How hammered are you?
Well, I didn't have any lunch. I had a smoothie for breakfast with some detox tea.
And now you're retoxing with some beer.
Right. It's like just flush and retox. Okay.
We're going to be advocates of the retox diet.
Retox. So Kathleen, who was 38 when she died, had an ex-boyfriend.
Well, I was going to actually ask, is this her first marriage? Is that known? Okay.
I think it is her first marriage, but she had this ex-boyfriend named Evan Zimmerman.
Okay.
Probably related to me because my mom's maiden name was Zimmerman from Boyd. I feel like I'm probably related to this guy.
There's probably not that many Zimmermans from Boyd.
Right.
There's like that tree is probably pretty flat, straight up and down.
No, this guy's not from Boyd, though.
So far as we know.
Right. He might be. He might not be. I shouldn't say that.
Right.
Okay.
Tune in next week.
There's a lot of suicides in my family, but I don't know about murderers. Okay. So they started dating in 1998, and they broke up about a year later. And
okay, so this is like 2 years before the marriage.
Yes. Now, word was that he never got over her. That he would follow her. He maybe was even in her house once, like after they broke up. But she never called the police. So these are all sort of hearsays. So
it would be really weird for people who've broken up with each other to be in each other's houses.
Right. One time, do you remember when I sold the treadmill and you were like fucking hating me right then?
Well, I wasn't hating you then.
Really? I had a treadmill that stayed here for a while.
Yeah.
And I sold it. And you had to, like, let me in the house.
Right. And what I was irritated with at that point was that you were scheduling things that were happening at my house before you let me know that you were going to do it. So.
That is a fair thing to be irritated about.
Yeah. So, but I wasn't, like, mad. It was just, like, you know, I had to make special arrangement to come home.
Yes.
So you could sell your treadmill.
Right.
And never cut me in on the deal. So,
that treadmill sat there a while. You could have used it.
Obviously, I didn't.
Okay, so here's what happens. The police found Zimmerman on the afternoon of the morning that the body was found. And he was at the VFW, which is on Star Avenue in Eau Claire.
I know where that is.
Yeah, and he was really, really drunk. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to just read this. A prosecution witness testified that Zimmerman told him that Thompson had been murdered and they, quote, found her up on Margaret Street, which is where I used to live with my first husband, gutted like a fish.
Gutted like a fish.
Which is not even what happened.
No.
So the police contended that even though some of the details were wrong, he knew these things because he was the killer.
Okay.
He contended he had heard that information when he went to the gas station in the morning and bought cigarettes. So he said, no, I'm not the killer. I was at the gas station and I heard somebody say these things about her.
Right.
So He said he was at the VFW the night of the murder, which was confirmed by witnesses, but then went to try to stay at the home of a friend and went home instead when that friend didn't answer the door. So he kind of didn't have a great alibi in the early morning hours.
No, it's pretty airtight. Yeah, I went to my buddy's house. He didn't answer the door.
Right.
Yeah, check for fingerprints or whatnot.
So yeah, then good. I went home instead. And then he okay.
Yeah, check the log on my TV.
Well, hey.
Well, you know, and actually, like,
yeah.
Internet browser history could probably tell you, you know, like, because 100% that dude went home and, like, was watching porn, right?
Right. I'm totally thinking about... I'm totally thinking about your porn history.
That definitely does not need to be Doomsday Murder Cult canon. So...
God damn it. Okay, I gotta get that out of my head. So alright. The police conducted a traffic survey near the area where Thompson's body was found, and they asked motorists if they had been in the area on the morning the body was found. One motorist said that they noticed a white van with a sleeping or passed out female passenger around 5:30 in the morning while going to work, and that description checked out. This is horrible investigating, right? This is terrible investigating. I mean, maybe it's not.
Like, oh, no, there's a chick sleeping on the curb.
Yeah, well, in a van. At this point, she was in a white van.
Oh, okay.
This was at 5:30.
I was picturing, like, just, like, face down in the gutter.
Well, she eventually was that way. But this guy said... I saw somebody in a white van at 5:30, which was 15 minutes before her body was discovered.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was a white Dodge with wood paneling that looked like a van.
Oh, that's like the classiest classmobile.
Right. It's kind of a murder vehicle.
Well, it's either it's a murder vehicle or it's like, oh God, I can't say what I can't say.
I know what you're thinking.
I can't say low rent soccer mom, can I?
Oh, low. I thought you were talking. You're going to say child molester.
Oh no,
yeah,
that would
be. You could say low rent soccer mom.
Well, there goes our low rent soccer mom market.
I mean, if you can afford soccer gear, you can't be too low rent.
I guess maybe, yeah.
You know, unless your rent's really, really low, and then you've got some cash flow. That's just a savvy lady living it out.
So the white with wood paneling, I'm guessing old and rusty van,
mm-hmm.
is not a take two. So it's not low rent soccer mom. It's savvy lady mobile.
It's a savvy lady mobile. She's like, I don't need to worry about my vehicle. It's got to be big enough for kids. It's got to get me where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's like my Kia Rondo.
You do drive a Kia Rondo.
You think I like that?
I think there's a part of you that takes some twisted pride in that. Yeah.
I do have a history with Kias. I had a blue one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this Zimmerman guy. So they're trying to figure out. I feel like they had one idea of who they wanted the killer to be, and it was the ex-boyfriend. So they were desperately trying to make some links for a case.
Listen, I want to just say this. The lazy man works the hardest. You know? So instead of doing... This is my conjecture based on the story so far.
Uh-huh.
Instead of doing real police work... And real detective work. Mm-hmm. And really try to, you know, evaluate the evidence and figure out what the fuck was going on. They were like, you know what? Fuck this guy. And they busted their ass to try to make this guy look guilty.
Yes.
So probably burn more calories trying to figure out how to frame this motherfucker than actually doing the detective work that... should have been done.
Yeah, and boy, oh boy, wait till you hear what happens
with
this
right.
one.
Yeah, I better just stay buckled
in
here.
Oh, okay, so They interviewed Zimmerman many times, some of these interviews occurring when he was drunk, he later claimed. Police told him a witness had seen a woman with her eyes closed in a white van near the area where Thompson was found. An officer would later testify that Zimmerman replied, quote, "Nobody saw us." Although on cross-examination, he conceded that Zimmerman actually said, quote, "Nobody saw us because we weren't together."
Well, that seems perfectly consistent.
So the state found witnesses who said that after Zimmerman and Thompson broke up, he continued to be obsessed with her. Okay. So this was part of the case that they were building.
Well, and that's not unique to people who have been in relationships.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's not unique.
Right.
That's,
I mean, you slept in my car for like a year after. Even though
well, I mean, you kept leaving the doors so easy to pick.
It only took me like an hour to get in there.
Yeah, it was like, well, like I got it down to like 45 minutes with a little practice, you know, like, oh, and there's a trick to that. I should show you. I mean, well, no, I definitely shouldn't show you the trick.
Oh, I've got a weird feeling in my foot. Hmm. Oh boy, that's weird. Anyway.
Should we pause?
No.
Okay.
I can power through it. So one witness said, here's the damning part.
Okay.
He heard Zimmerman say that he wanted to kill Thompson, cut out her genitals, and then take them home to have sex whenever he felt like it.
Okay. I mean, all right. So, I mean, that part's a little weird.
Yeah, but you know what, though? He didn't do that. He just if that's the really what he wanted to do, he wouldn't have just strangled her, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is in 2000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did the Fleshlight exist before then?
The Fleshlight?
Oh, come on, you've heard of the Fleshlight.
No.
A little sex toy that looks like a flashlight, but it basically has like, it's like a flashlight that you fuck.
Wow. I know.
Well, that's on the show now.
I don't. So this plus your shady porn background. You're closing a lot of doors.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we probably have lost certain sponsorship opportunities, but we probably have gained some.
Yeah, like Adam and Eve, they'll be down for this.
Yeah, and the makers of Fleshlight, I'm sure.
Yes, I didn't know what this is. So what was your idea? Like, he should have just bought a Fleshlight?
Well, yeah, I mean, instead of, like, cutting out a girl's, like, parts. Killing a girl and then cutting out her parts, like, and I'm just thinking from, a practicality standpoint, like, that's only going to be good for a certain number of uses, right?
Yeah. Oh.
So, and probably.
Just not.
Okay, listen.
Not a good time. It wouldn't be a good time.
I want to say this for the record. I want this to be on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you remove the lady parts from a lady, you also remove a lot of the fun from it.
Yeah.
So, it's not gonna work the way you think it's gonna work. So don't do that. Leave the lady parts in the ladies.
That's a good.
Is that fair? That's fair.
I think so. And on. Okay, let's pretend right now you're on your deathbed. Okay, and it's just pure honesty.
Okay.
Do you own a Fleshlight?
No.
Oh.
But if Fleshlight sent me one as a sponsorship, I probably would have very little use for other human beings.
What does it look like? Like the actual parts?
I'll show you.
Okay. So this guy was convicted with murder.
The boyfriend.
The ex-boyfriend.
The ex-boyfriend, right.
Was
right.
Charged with murder.
Okay.
And it was really circumstantial. Focused on alleged incriminating and conflicting statements he had made during the lengthy investigation.
Yeah, was there any actual physical evidence?
No, there was not. Okay. A medical examiner said Thompson died of strangulation and that a telephone cord found in his van may have been used. They also suggested that Thompson's nasal secretions had dried in a way to suggest she had been sitting up rather than lying down, which was consistent with her sitting in the van when that guy...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 minutes before she was found dead.
Yes. The prosecution presented a hair identified as Thompson's found on a brush in Zimmerman's van. Well, they had dated.
Yeah, and like how often and how thoroughly do you clean those brushes?
Right.
You know?
So he was convicted and sentenced to life in prison for this.
Right. Fortunately, we don't have the death penalty in Wisconsin.
But fortunately, we have exonerated, you know, what are those things called when somebody gets...
Oh,
it's like a bunch of really nice people who want to be lawyers. Yeah, it's the National... I found this information on the National Registry of Exonerations because... Oh. This guy was exonerated in 2005.
Okay.
He was found, he had a retrial, and he was found not guilty. And it was based on false confession and an inadequate legal defense. And...
Yeah, who's this guy's lawyer that let him...
No kidding.
Go to the can for... I mean, what amounts to a hair on a brush that...
I know.
It's not unreasonable for it to be in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they had never met.
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's not, that's not really compelling, I guess, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, what, we dated, like, well, so we established several years ago.
We don't want to figure it out.
But, like. Like my hairs are all over your brushes.
You just leave hair everywhere you go. You have so many problems. Yeah. That was part of the problem.
Just the incessant shedding of hairs and bodily fluids.
I would be so glad when you worked at the bike shop late so that there wouldn't be hair everywhere.
I get that. I understand.
So, there are some problems with the initial conviction, right? I mean, we can clearly see.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. This just goes on and on. The court found that the lawyer had failed to introduce the results of DNA testing of evidence found in near Thompson, including hair and cigarette butts. The tests of some items excluded Zimmerman, and the tests of others excluded not only Zimmerman, but also her new husband. So there were items, like, right around her that they never introduced as evidence because, of course, the DNA didn't link Zimmerman to her. So I imagine they just left that out of the initial court proceedings.
Right, so it doesn't match, so they're just like, eh, fuck it.
Right, we just won't mention that.
Yeah.
That's just out. Yeah. You know,
but like his lawyer should have been all over that.
The lawyer failed to inform the jury that DNA tests on the telephone cord were negative for the presence of DNA and that carpet fibers found on Thompson's shoes could not be matched to any source.
His defense lawyer just forgot to say that.
He must have had really shitty. It was probably some public defender.
Yeah.
So Rich White, who I think might still be the district attorney in Eau Claire, but I'm not for sure. I know that name.
That's a really terrible name.
I
for
know. It is. Rich White.
Yeah, I'm a Rich
White.
I'm
oh,
a Rich
my
White?
God. I never thought of that. That is bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad. Yeah. So he asked that the case be dismissed because he did not have sufficient evidence to secure a conviction. Zimmerman, who had suffered a stroke while in prison, died of cancer 2 years after he was released.
So it basically fucked up his whole life anyway.
It basically fucked up his whole life. And surely, I mean, I don't know what kind of cancer he died of.
Prison cancer.
Prison cancer. I hate that kind. Like, where's that kind of, you know, where are the ribbons for that?
We never have Prison Cancer Day. Prison Cancer Awareness Week.
It's like, you know how you avoid prison cancer? You stay out of there unless you get fucked over, right. And then you're just fucked.
Yeah. Which, well, and that can open up a whole conversation about how fucked you are if you enter the American criminal justice system
kidding.
The first place, but that's probably for somebody else's podcast. Yeah. Or, well, I mean, we'll see if that comes back. We'll see if there's a theme.
Yeah. So, this case, as far as the Eau Claire Police Department, their take is that this is not an unsolved murder.
They solved it. They put the guy away.
The guy got out. They still think he's the guy.
Okay.
So they are not pursuing any information on this one. So if you were inclined to do digging, this would be a case to do it because they don't care.
Yeah.
They're done with it.
Go nuts.
Yeah.
It's a fair game.
Go nuts. Just break in, like, get all the evidence.
Just go bananas in that evidence room.
Just go bananas in there. Just
we
like,
definitely should maybe disclaimer that. Don't do that.
No. Just steal that stuff. Hire a PI. Like, preferably Burt Reynolds.
He would Yeah. If I have to hire a PI. Well, when I hired a PI, when I was living in your car, I hired Burt Reynolds. Well, actually, I hired Burt Reynolds' mustache. It was a whole complicated deal.
That is so gross. So that's my first murder. And
that's a good one.
It is a good one because we have every frame of reference locally
right.
for it.
And, I mean, we live in this community. And they're legit. It's 16 years ago.
Yeah.
17 years, whatever. I don't know what year it is. It doesn't matter.
No.
Like legit that murderer, like a dude who murdered somebody is still out there. And here's something I've always kind of thought was kind of fucked up that I've always kind of thought about. Like what are the chances? Like we might know somebody who's murdered somebody.
Yeah, actually, my first boyfriend ever was on Unsolved Mysteries for murdering somebody in Marshfield. And he ran away.
Did
they
like he
find him.
Do it? Or
yeah, he did. He did it in a forest. Some kind of national forest around Marshfield?
We should totally...
Well, that's got
to
be
one. You should definitely have to do an episode on that,
Thomas.
Dude.
Thomas 80. I won't tell how to spell his last name. It's really hard.
Okay.
Because also my memory's a little fuzzy and I'm starting to think, is that really what I'm remembering? Or I swear that's how it went. So I will do an episode and figure that one out.
Okay.
You're
Googling super.
It.
No. I'm looking at my notes for my thing.
Okay. So that's. And remember that after I do my next one.
Right. That they're going to be connected.
Potentially.
Potentially in some way.
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah. The end.
Because we know a murder. Like, somebody in our circle, like, somebody did it.
Somebody did it.
So, you know what? I think that's the first episode. First murder we're going to solve.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that leaves us with a little hope. I think we'll see what happens here.
Okay, you insisted on yours being the last thing.
Right.
And I want to hear the compelling case for why this should be.
So, especially like 60s and 70s and 80s, conditions in Uganda were not super good.
Where is Uganda?
Africa. Western Africa.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Eastern Africa.
Eastern Africa.
Somewhere in Africa.
Is it anywhere? What's the proximity of that to where Leonardo DiCaprio filmed Blood Diamond?
well.
But that was Rhodesia.
Well, that was South. I mean. Oh, wait. He played a South African, so I just assumed. Like, it's in my head that all of Blood Diamond is in South Africa, but that's not true.
I don't know where Rhodesia is. I think that's where the diamonds were. But anyway,
listen, I did a limited amount of research, and Blood Diamond was not part of my research. Now I see it should have been, and I will be better prepared for future episodes.
And have you seen that movie?
I have, and it's amazing. I love it.
I bet you have a thing for Jennifer Connelly.
What if I did?
She's a little bit older.
Yeah. It's like everything I like. So, Uganda is in Central Eastern Africa. It's actually borders Kenya and Tanzania and Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like right in there.
Yeah, there's like drums, intensity.
Yeah. Like, the rule of Idi Amin, take two, Idi Amin happened in that era with the drums and the AIDS and the human rights violations the ethnic persecutions and the extrajudicial killings and gross mismanagement of the economy.
So that's like our 2017.
We're going to be able to look at Uganda in that era and kind of predict our future.
Yes,
I think.
Minus the AIDS part.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how things are going to go.
Right. I feel like we've got a handle on that.
Well, we do for now. So, during this time, scandal. I mean, are you sitting down? You might brace yourself for this. Scandal was just ripping through the Catholic Church in Uganda. Scandal in the Catholic Church.
Oh, God.
I know, it's crazy to think, right? So, so clergy are being defrocked, like, left and right.
For what?
Oh, just all sorts of, I mean, like, just all sorts of shit.
Was it the typical shit?
Think of the worst shit, and, like, that's what's happening, like, times 100.
Okay.
Like
that's bad.
Yeah. So... Yeah, it was a bad time. I mean, it was just a bad time to be in.
They were cutting, like, baby toes off. I was thinking that'd be pretty bad.
That'd be pretty bad.
And I mean, I'm putting them in jars.
The toes or the babies?
The toes in jars, forcing other people to eat them, and then sending the babies to work in rice fields in a different country.
Like the toeless babies are working in in rice fields.
You said to think of the worst thing ever.
I don't know that you need toes to work in a rice field. So I guess I don't. I can't say it didn't happen.
Right.
So Credonia Morwinde was born in 1952, and she had a pretty normal childhood. Her dad had visits from an apparition of her dead sister.
Wow.
Like, you know, I mean, like normal kid stuff.
Like, that's kind of a dream for me. It's like, wow. And the dad said so. It must have been true.
Yeah. Well, So dad starts getting visits from dead sister, who is named Evangelista, which is a name that I kind of like.
I know you do, because you like Linda Evangelista. And she's also older. She was a supermodel in the 90s.
I'm just making notes to
George Michael's Freedom 91 video. She had super short hair, and she mouths all the words.
That's, again, everything I've ever wanted.
Okay, Evangelista.
Yep. So Evangelista, who's dead, is appearing as a ghost to Credonia's dad. Mm-hmm. Also, the Virgin Mary starts popping by.
Okay, so maybe this guy is not reliable. Okay, I could handle the sister, but...
So, well, then, I mean, then Jesus, too, like, starts rolling around.
Okay.
And Jesus comes to her dad, and he's just like, hey, man, like, you got all this land, and I need somebody to set up, like, a compound where people can just come and, like... be with Jesus. I mean, not be with Jesus because he's not appearing to anybody else, but...
Yeah, have you know, your own, like, personal Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but so she was... Credonia Morwende was basically raised in a Virgin Mary cult, which was...
boring?
Well, I mean, well... I guess that's debatable, but in places like this where, I mean, where conditions are, we'll just say desperate, you know, mm-hmm. like things like this are not unusual, you know, where people can't trust the government, they can't mm-hmm. trust the church, like they, like literally, like their entire worldview is just, you know, it's defeatist, you know, like they're being beaten down from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these charismatic leaders would pop up and have these crazy fucked up beliefs that were different from, you know, based around what they already believe, but they would have, you know, kind of this unique take on it, you know? And so these cults are not unique by any stretch. So, as she was growing up, she worked as a shopkeeper. She brewed banana beer.
Oh.
And made a little extra cash, maybe as a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing what you do.
Yeah, that's a rough part of the world.
Banana beer,
that's more interesting to me.
Yeah.
She should have taken that stuff to the States, gotten herself out of this mess.
Yeah.
I might have tried that.
Maybe she did.
Oh, we don't know.
We'll see see what happens with Credonia. So 1989, Credonia meets a guy named...
Oh no. Okay, can I just guess it?
Uh-huh.
Is it an African name or is it more of an American sounding name?
A little of column A, a little of column B.
Roberto De Soto.
Joseph Kibwatiri.
Okay. Joseph. Oh, no. Yeah.
So, Joseph was raised Catholic. He was wealthy by Ugandan standards.
And he's Jesus's stepdad.
He seems like a pretty normal guy. He ran for public office in 1980.
Okay.
He designed a school and donated the land for it to be built on. Right. And then in 1984, Virgin Mary started to come visit him.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So not only her father, but now this guy she meets.
Right. Well, and now Credonia sees this and she's like, dude, you got to come back with me. Like, you got to come back and we got to do this thing. Right. And so Joseph comes back with Credonia and they create the Movement for the Restoration of the Ten Commandments. So they're super into Jesus, right? But they also take the Ten Commandments very seriously and very literally. So.
Oh, no.
Well, what could go wrong?
Well, honor thy father and mother is one of the commandments.
Okay, yeah.
So. Does she get her dad involved in this?
Well, I mean, they basically, that might come a little later, but they end up moving back to her dad's place, but, you know.
Okay.
Like, so dad's cool with it. they seem pretty cool with each other, you know. Basically their belief was the only way to save yourself from apocalyptic damnation was to live literally by the Ten Commandments. Okay, so they fasted often, which is not part of the Ten Commandments, but that's the thing that they did.
So this is shit from the beginning, because fasting's not part of the Ten Commandments.
Well, but they're into other things.
They just make up other things.
So they only ate one meal on Mondays and Fridays.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Absolutely no fucking. No getting down with each other or anybody. Right?
Were they not married?
Well, no. Joseph and Credonia were not married.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I think.
So, soap was forbidden. Which probably helped with the whole fucking thing, you know? Like, I mean, they probably didn't smell great.
Oh. I'm just thinking about that. No soap.
Yeah, no soap.
So were they sort of like Old Testament people? You know how there's all these rules in the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is totally like an Old Testament type.
Yeah, type. Because it can only wear certain kinds of fabrics and all kinds of weird stuff.
So now, the Ten Commandments are in the book of Exodus. And Exodus 20:16 is, I think this is commandment number 9 if you're keeping score at home. Which is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Take 2. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Which seems pretty straightforward, right? You don't lie about, like,
Kathleen being in a white van when maybe you're not for sure.
Right. So they were super, like terrified of breaking this one on accident. So, like, people would just go like long stretches without talking to each other. And
this sounds like the worst time ever.
They actually like developed their own like sign language.
Oh, my gosh.
To communicate so they wouldn't, accidentally.
This is horrible. This is horrible.
So then things are going great. and then coming to the party is a guy named Dominic Catrababo. Dominic Catrababo. I've practiced all these names before we recorded.
Dom.
So Dom comes to town. He used to be a priest, and he was one of these guys who was defrocked in like the scandals.
Oh.
Right? So
do you know what he was defrocked for?
I couldn't find it, unfortunately. But
wondering, though.
Some of them were defrocked for like crazy fucked up shit, and some people were just, you know, like somebody running, you know, whatever church that they were a part of, you know, sometimes it was just like, I don't like that guy, fuck him, he's out of here.
Yeah.
You know? And so, now what's interesting about Dom and what led some,
is Dom what just really fucks this all up? Is it Dom?
Well, who said things are going to get fucked up? This probably happened. Like, I mean, there's God, there's the Virgin Mary, there's visions of dead people. Like, I mean, this is what brings people together, right?
Right.
So,
church.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, and this is kind of what led some, it brought some like real gravity to this group, is he was a dude who studied theology in the U.S. He went to Loyola Marymount University in L.A. Which, I mean, probably doesn't mean a lot to, like, you and I, because I don't know what that was. I mean, I never...
Loyola?
Marymount. Oh, boy. I need to take a...
Okay, well, you know, I've got some friends that live in L.A., while you're talking, I'm going to find out what's up with this place.
Okay. All right.
If it's still around.
It.
How do you spell it?
Loyola space Marymount.
Okay.
I thought you were making a sex joke about, like, Mary Mount.
No.
So after he joined the group, And with his U.S. his American education in theology, like, people started just flocking to the group, and 1992, they've got basically like a self-sustaining community going. You know, like it's essentially like a commune. You know, like they've got like agriculture going on. You know, like they're growing their own food, they're producing their own stuff. You know, and one of the things that they're doing to sustain the group is that when people join, they are quote unquote asked to sell all their property and give the money to the group.
Okay, that's kind of like what the Rutledge charities used to do in Chippewa Falls.
Well, they might have taken their cues from Joseph and Credonia. Yeah. They had some great ideas. A lot of people say they had great ideas.
They do. How many people die? Oh, God. Okay, I can't wait to hear this. Because now they're getting money.
Right.
And that's never good for people, really.
So, Joseph is like, you know, he was the wealthy one who came, you know, the politician and built a school and all that stuff. Well, he's just fire sailing everything he owns, like all his property and stuff, you know, like, which is going to pay for, you know, the expansion. Well, fortunately, Credonia starts receiving phone calls from the Virgin Mary. So, you know, like...
Oh, my
God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hold on.
Star 67.
Just wait. Well, that would work if she was calling through a conventional telephone line. But the Virgin Mary is calling through a hidden telephone system that's disguised as ordinary objects.
Oh, no.
Like cups and plates and shoes.
Oh, no.
So she'll be having a conversation. She's like, oh, how's the, how are the potatoes doing? Are we doing, we're doing good? Like, things are, like, oh, hang on a second. I got to take a call.
Were they taking a lot of psychedelics? Was there any mention of drugs?
No mention of that in the sources that I was.
Oh, my gosh.
Through, but,
I feel like I was really rooting for this girl to not fall victim to this and to just instead surround herself, but then realize at some point and then run.
So she grabs a banana and she's like, oh, Virgin Mary, what's up? How are you? How's the kid?
there could be more than one kid.
Oh, sacrifice himself for the salvation of mankind. Okay.
But what about James? That maybe is Jesus' brother.
I don't think these people recognize James.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I don't know. I guess I didn't dive that deep into their belief system. I want to be fair. So this whole thing is turning into sort of a Noah's Ark kind of situation where they start talking about the world's going to end. Like, you know, the faithful are gathering and the end of the world is coming. The faithful will be spared and everyone else is going to get totally fucked and not in a good way.
Yeah, because they aren't doing that.
Right. Right. So, most of the residents of the town that's near this, you know, their commune are not a part of the movement for the restoration of the Ten Commandments and are kind of not cool with all these extra people showing up.
Were there a lot?
There was a bunch. You know, this is probably the town was probably it was probably like 500 people, 600 people, and there were probably about as many on this commune.
And how did they arrive at the conclusion that the world was going to end?
Well, that's what the Virgin Mary was telling Credonia.
Oh,
through the shoe banana phone.
Okay, I got
that,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So the people in the town are just like, you guys got to get the fuck out of here. And so the movement, that's where they relocated to Credonia's dad's place. You know, and then they start really getting into, you know, the farming. They were raising cattle. You know, that's where they really started to become like the big, huge, self-sustaining, mm-hmm. like commune, you know. And so, and they start spreading, you know, this is mostly in like Western Uganda. They start building houses for members. They start, they built churches and a school. And by the late 90s, membership had grown to nearly 5,000.
Oh my God.
So, you know, it's the late 90s. And, you know, there's a numerical anomaly associated with the calendar approaching in the late 90s.
Oh, it's another one of these people.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of them over the, you know, there's, I mean, the year 2000 triggered a lot of people to think the world was going to end. And that's getting into...
Do you remember that from Conan?
Yeah, I do. I wonder if anybody else will.
I don't know what our age demo
it'll be interesting
is going
to
be.
It's going to be interesting. so, well, the year 2000 thing, and I'll probably talk more about this I'll probably dedicate a little bit of time to that because. Yeah. I've always said millennials, well, people say millennials will be the end of the world, will cause the end of the world. And it's not millennials, it's millennianarianism.
Millennianarianism.
Which is, that's the belief that, when you talk about a millennium, mm-hmm. that's talking about, 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Millennianarianism or something like that. Don't look at it. Don't. Listen.
I've never heard this word before.
Well, it's the belief that it's essentially the belief that Jesus is going to come back and reign for 1,000-year period. That's what it says in the Bible, that, you know, like when the apocalypse happens, Jesus comes back, kills all the unfaithful, and will reign and with peace on earth for 1,000 years.
And then what?
Well, then I think he just burns the whole shit to the ground. Look, when Jesus comes back, everybody's fucked. So the year 2000 is coming up, right? And they start getting real serious about getting ready for the end of the world. Right, they're getting ready for this shit to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 1999, a Ugandan newspaper printed a quote from a member who said, "Quote: The world end next. Take two. The world ends next year. There's no time to waste. Some of our leaders talk directly to God. Any minute now, when the end comes, every believer who will be at an as yet undisclosed spot will be saved."
Okay. It's amazing how there were so many of these groups of people. They should have all found each other.
They really should have. So, all through 1999, the movement leaders are urging members to confess their sins and prepare for the end so they can die, you know, or they can face the end with clean souls. All the possessions that they had, things like cattle and clothing, were sold like totally on the cheap. You're just getting rid of everything. The farms, the work on the farms, they just stopped working. Because why do you need to work on the farm if, you know, the world's going to end?
Right.
So you don't need food in the future. You don't need food when Jesus comes.
Right.
So, so December 31st. 1999. They're sitting around. New Year's Eve happens. News Day happens. January 2nd happens. The world keeps on turning. Things are relatively quiet.
Because there's no more livestock and there's no more food or clothes.
Right. So they're all hungry and cold and have nothing to eat or do. Well, payment from members starts drying up. Like, people just stop paying.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are pissed. If you can believe it, some people are pissed off and want their money back.
Mm-hmm.
So Credonia and Joseph totally would have done that, except that the Blessed Virgin Mary called up Credonia through an apricot and told them that there's going to be a new date, which is March 17th, 2000. So they're like, listen.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what could go wrong in St. Patrick's Day?
These people are, they probably didn't realize it's St. Patrick's Day there.
No, I'm sure.
They're like, oh, shit.
I mean, they might be, like, super into Lucky Charms. You don't know. You don't know how deep the Irish heritage runs.
I don't know.
I certainly don't know how prevalent it is in Uganda.
Right. So March 17th.
Yep. So they throw a motherfucking party. Right?
Do they finally do it with
they
each other?
They throw a party. They slaughter a bunch of bulls and roast them. 70 crates of soda were brought in. And they're just like, they're just getting down, right? March 17th shows up, right? So 530 members show up at the main church to pray and sing. Because, like, this is it. This is happening. We're doing this thing, right? Well, sometime that morning, people in the nearby village heard a massive explosion. And they come out there and they find the church burned to the ground.
500 and some people were there.
530 inside the church. Now, the first reports, the initial assessments were that this was a mass suicide.
Yeah.
Right? Except closer examination of the church showed, like, what was, you know, like, the closer examination of the remains showed that the windows and doors had been boarded up from the outside.
Oh, my.
So, now, everybody assumed that
they all died.
They all died. So they assumed, but there were, like, 5,000 members. So this is just, like, 500 at the main compound. Everybody assumed that Joseph, Credonia, and Dom were all inside, right? Because where else would they be, right? In the following days, the Ugandan police searched other movement for the restoration of the Ten Commandments properties. They found 6 bodies in a latrine, sealed up in the latrine of, like, their compound. They found 153 bodies in another compound.
Oh, my gosh.
155 at Dom's place. 81 at Joseph's place. Joseph had, like, his own, like, separate farm that he was running. So 81 there.
This is just tons of bodies.
Just tons of bodies.
And what was the cause of death on them? Was there even more bodies found?
Well, we'll get to the a lot of the causes of death were, like, poison. I think a few were shot. You know, but, like, so, some were found, like, apparently strangled. They had, like, these bits of, like wood and like handkerchiefs that were used as, like, a tourniquet kind of, yeah, like, around their necks. So I mean, I'm just going to say, you know, evidence is pointing maybe to not mass suicide, maybe more in the...
like mass murder?
Right. So, things were kind of, were, I mean, it was a remote area in a very poor country without a lot of resources to do, like, really super thorough, like, forensic investigation. So, you know, so there are some just unanswered questions and probably questions that will remain forever unanswered.
Mm-hmm.
But the conventional wisdom now seems to be, it's looks much more like mass murder than mass suicide, you know, and it potentially could have been a little bit of both. But in 2014, the Ugandan government officially issued arrest warrants for Credonia Morinde and Joseph Kibwirtari.
And they've never been found.
They
could have been dead.
Did they
identify all the bodies?
Well, most of them were just burned beyond recognition. And they didn't have, you know, the technology to identify.
Right. And who boarded up those windows?
Right. Somebody had to board up the windows. And it might, I mean, if we're going to assign agency and motive,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it was the people who had been taking people's money and didn't want to give it back.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying I know that for fact, but...
But then why randomly kill not all of the people, but just some of them? Isn't this weird, though? I mean, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, you know, like it's... you know, wrong place at the wrong time for these believers.
Yeah.
You know, that they just happen to go to church or they happen to be on the farms or the properties and, you know, and put themselves in a position where they were going to be mass murdered.
And you think about that, though, something like poison, you don't just say, hey, come take some poison. I guess maybe you do.
Or maybe you do. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, man. This is really weird.
Yeah, it's weird. One thing that I, one kind of follow-up that I was kind of happy to see. Do you know the Ig Nobel Prizes?
No.
So the Ig Nobels are sort of a...
like ignorant Nobel?
Sort of, yeah. It's sort of like a satirical, or satirical.
I like satirical.
Yeah, it's satirical. Like it's like magical, yeah, but satirical. Satire.
Yeah.
It's magical satire. but they're given out for all sorts of crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's kind of like either poking fun at something or highlighting something, some line of research or something as being like really weird or useless or, you know, like so, in 2011, Credonia Morinde was awarded an Ig Nobel in mathematics for, quote, teaching the world to be careful when making mathematical assumptions and calculations. and actually, she was part of a group, and I'm not going to mention any of the other names because there's a bunch on that list that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good ones that were awarded the Ig Nobel in 2011 for doomsday predictions. So
why was it 2011?
I don't know. That's just when they chose to do it. They got around to it.
Like 11 years.
Yeah, 11 years later. So,
so these people have never been found. They're not for sure dead. They're not for sure alive. They killed a ton of people and probably got away with it with a bunch of money and are hiding somewhere.
Yeah, That's the conventional wisdom, yeah.
Wow, why not for the other guy, Dom?
You know what? I think, and I, boy, this should have been something to put into my notes. I think Dom died, but I don't remember where, and that totally would have been something really good to put in my notes, and I didn't.
Hmm.
So, so do your own research.
Lessons learned.
And if you figure out what happened to Dom, Credonia, or Joseph, you can email us.
What is our email address?
At info@dmcpod.com.
.com.
Yep.
Okay.
We got us a professional dmcpod.com email address.
Yeah, because we have dmcpod.com, right. Which is our website.
Right.
Which is where our episodes will be until there are other places, too.
Right. Exactly. They're going to be in one place until they're in other places.
So, okay. We were thinking about, all right, this is a lot of downer stuff. So let's...
I don't know. I feel pretty good about what we talked about.
You don't want to talk about the kitten?
I don't. I mean, I feel like we're not going to go any further up than that, right? We feel good. Everybody's feeling good.
I feel pretty good, but I've had some beers.
Right. Our listeners may not be feeling great after those two stories. So, I'm sorry. I interrupted and for a cheap joke that didn't really work. So, we were thinking that at the end of every show that we would end with like a... I'm tentatively calling it the ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
A ray of sunshine.
A ray of sunshine.
Yeah, you know, like where we all kind of refocus and go back to our happy place.
Right.
So.
Excuse me.
And that's going to happen.
Right. So our happy place this week was found in an internet search that started as twin boy kittens.
I think it was twin brother kitten. You said twin you said ooh, search for twin brother kittens and hit news.
Yeah. Cuz I thought if there's some news about twin brother kittens, oh boy, that would be so cute. Most of the news stories we pulled up are not cute.
I'm going to just say don't avoid that particular Google search unless
bad.
You want some more super dark shit.
But we did find something.
Yes, we did. Apparently this was on The Tonight Show, which I've never really watched. But they do a thing apparently called Truth or Dare.
Yeah, I don't know that.
And I don't know anything about it. All I know is that I clicked this link and a video came up of Samuel L. Jackson yelling at kittens.
Swearing.
Yeah, swearing at kittens.
About his favorite movie and why they should go see it.
Yeah.
So that is a ray of sunshine.
Yeah. You know what? On I think on the website, if you go to dmcpod.com, I'll try to put a link up to the video.
Okay.
Now I said it. Now I have to do it.
Yeah, you do.
So.
Thanks.
Yeah. And we're also, I mean, we're not up on Facebook yet, if you're listening to this the week it comes out.
No, I'm going to.
But we will be up on Facebook. And, you know, we can talk about some weird shit. You know, the one thing that we didn't talk about.
I have to go to the bathroom really bad.
Do you want to leave that in the show?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I can edit it out. We can do that.
No, you can leave it in there if you want.
All right. I mean, we're at the point of the show where I was thinking we would wrap things up.
Yeah.
We were talking about this stuff for like an hour and a half.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, I think that's a good place to.
Okay, good. Because I have to go to the bathroom, so we'll be done, but we'll be back.
We will be back next week.
Yes.
We haven't really talked about what our sign off is going to be.
Excuse me. I think that's it.
We could leave it at that.
Okay.
So.
Bye.